Good morning. Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here and worship together. I thoroughly enjoyed the worship. I know we, in many ways, we go through the same patterns of worship each Sunday, and we've done that all my life, and yet it was inspirational and encouraging for me again this morning, the Sunday school and the devotionals and the thoughts that we've had already. I trust that God will continue to inspire us as we go through the service. Title of my message this morning is The Cheerful Factor. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Familiar verse there that I've been pondering a bit. I read this verse in a book that I was reading commented on it, and ever since then I've been thinking about and rolling the idea that it had around in my mind, and we'll talk about that more later, but I want to look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. I invite you to turn there. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And I just want to talk about that last line a bit, and analyze that some. This verse 7, if we would look at the setting of it, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he tells them that he knows, if you look there in verse 1, he says he knows it isn't necessary for him to write to them about giving and about giving to needs. He's like, I don't need to do that. He says, I know the forwardness of your mind. And actually, he says that he boasted about the church at Corinth to the church in Macedonia about how they like to give, the zeal they have for that. But then he does go on, and he does exhort them a bit, because he doesn't want to be embarrassed by the boasting that he did at Macedonia. There was a need at this time in the church of Jerusalem, and so they were gathering monetary gifts to take back to the saints at Jerusalem, and that was part of this context as well. And Paul was saying, I know that yous are givers, but he exhorts them to give again. And then in verse 6, he teaches a very timeless principle. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. It's just a simple, simple life truth that we have to understand. You heard about it in the devotions this morning with Brother Johnny. If you reap sparingly, you're just going to sow sparingly. If you plant a tiny garden, you're going to reap a tiny garden. If you let your seed in the shed, so at least you have a bag of seed, in the fall you're going to have a bag of seed. And it isn't worth much. And so we plant it, we go out and sow. And again, it's in the context of this idea of giving. When there's a need, am I willing to give? And then verse 7, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. So give according to how you determine and make up in your own mind. As you evaluate a need and you say, you know what, I can give this to that need, and then you give that, and let your heart be in it. Not just a, whatever, I guess, I can give a little, but let your heart be in what you choose to give. And it says, not grudgingly or of necessity. Don't look at it and begrudge that you need to give. Don't give because, oh, well, there's a need, I must. But the Lord, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Give cheerfully. Now, I have 3 points this morning, a rather simple message. We're going to look at the giver, and we're going to look at a cheerful giver, and then God loves a cheerful giver. So let's talk about a giver, first of all. Did you do any giving last week? I imagine you did. Did you do any giving today already? Probably. We give a lot, if you stop and think about it. We give a lot of the time. We give often. And we tend to give much. Many of us, I think. But I would like you to tell me this morning, just to get your mind started, I'm going to make a list. You tell me, what are things that we give, or what are areas in life that we give to, or whatever, however you want to give it, which will help you to start thinking about this giving and also help you to not fall asleep. What are some things that you give or gave or are giving or plan to give? Now, one of the things when you ask really simple questions, a lot of times people just look at you because they're not sure they want to condescend to that. But help me out. One of the other things is, like, I tend to think about the things that I give and not think about the things that you're giving because it's just not my lane. It's not the space I'm in. But you're over there and you're giving to something too. I'm not mindful of it. And so as we hear each other, it will help to broaden our perspective on giving a little bit.
I delivered a flower and a casserole to Royer Road.
Okay. Royer Road with, I'm going to say food and flowers, casserole and flowers. Food and flowers. Over to Royer Road because there's a need there with a challenge, with a little baby in our congregation. And so we take food and flowers. I am suspicious, so I'm going to let you keep going. Go ahead. What else?
Time.
Thank you. Some of us, I think, this is our most precious commodity. We find we have the least of it, right? You want a little money? Here you go. Need some food or flowers, but I can't get them to you. All right, good one. Certainly we give of our time. And okay, good. So time, and then we're going to do another one, and that is time to God, because time could be, this required time too, the delivery of food and flowers, but it could also be, I give time to my children to help them with whatever, and you actually give time to your employer, and then he gives you money back. But Marlon is bringing out especially that we give time to God, which would be personal worship, where I stop and worship, prayer, and meditation, and even though time is a precious commodity, I have some there that I give to God. Okay, good. Thank you. More.
Our skills.
All right, our skills. For sure. So, back up to that top one. Dad said he delivered food. I'm suspicious he didn't make the food, but he may have. Who knows? He could. I mean, he can. He does grill some. I'm suspicious there was someone over here doing some making, right? And so anything from... they might ask you to, along with skills, could be like skills and talents. You might get asked, I saw a message that if we don't get people to volunteer for teaching summer Bible school, we're going to ask you, right? We're looking for some skills and some talent. But that could be making food. That could be sewing a dress for someone. We have skills. We have talents. We have giftings. That God gives us, and we have opportunity to give with those more.
Prayers.
Good. Excellent. Because we can give up prayers to God. We can pray on behalf of others. Excellent. More.
Many cups of water.
All right. Many cups of water. And... if you are a mom here today, you know all about that one, right? Just over and over. And that's even, you know, typical of all the many things you do, right? You tie shoes and you make meals and you just give cups of water on and on. We do on this side too. Sure. Yeah, good. So... Our cognitive powers, our ability to reason and think. So right, sermon preparation. But Devin studied his Sunday school lesson longer than I did this week, I guarantee you. But we take that ability. We focus it in on what does God have for me to do, and it is work to think and to prepare things and to even think through life and speak into issues. Good. More. I'm sorry? Okay. Yeah, good. So, the best we have. And that's excellent. We're going to get in a little bit more here a little bit later, but you know, in the Old Testament, they were commanded, when you were given a sacrifice, if it was your sheep or whatever, you gave a good sheep. Because there's a part of me that, you know, if I have a sheep that has one leg that doesn't work, I mean, that's one that could certainly be given up and should probably be a sacrifice because it's not doing well anyway. But God asked for the best we have. We're not given sheep anymore. You know, out of that time I'm willing to give to God, is it some of my best time? Do you know when your best time is? The best energy that we have. Do you have more?
Praise.
Praise. That's an excellent one. And God loves to hear his children praise him. And I think it's very connected to that thought at the end of verse 7 where God loves a cheerful giver. He's looking for this giving and he's looking for praise as a part of it, right? Which is also part of what we give. Are you content with that list or you want to add anything more to it? Okay, good. Dedication to healthy relationships. And I guarantee you that if you are dedicated to some healthy relationships, you're going to pour some other things of this into those to make that work, right? Because relationships require deposits and withdrawals. And so I make deposits into those, and then at some point I probably make a withdrawal, but you can bankrupt relationships, and so there's things you're going to need to do to make that work. That's a good list, thank you. So we're going to just sit in those a little bit, and I want to think a little bit about some profiles of some givers in the Bible before we move on from the giver. So we have things to give. Do all people give the same? Well, there was the generous giver. The widow that Jesus was sitting there at the temple watching people put their money in the box, and some of them gave great sums of money, and then the widow came along and she dropped in her two mites. And Jesus said she gave more than anybody else. And the disciples didn't understand that. He said, well, she has nothing left. She gave of everything she had. And so generosity is measured, when Jesus is watching, is measured more with what's left than it is in what we actually gave, right? But the generous giver gives of what they have and is willing to give lots and not necessarily to keep lots to themselves. Another example of a giver is the compassionate giver, the Good Samaritan. He's walking in the road to Jericho and he sees a man who's hurt and he sees that need and he walks over and he gives of his time and he gives of his resources to that person. So he has things, you know, for healing, the oil and wine, and he bandages them up and he puts them on his donkey and he takes them to the inn and he gives the innkeeper money. He gives quite a bit. Now, he could have given more. He could have stayed there at the inn until the person was completely better and sent him on his way. But instead, he said, here's some money and I'll check back in on him when he comes back. So he went on his way, but a very compassionate giver, saw a need, and again, used his resources to meet that. But not all the profiles of givers in the Bible are positive. There's the conniving giver, Ananias and Sapphira. They sold their land and they gave the money to the church. And they looked at that and said, you know, we would really like the reputation of saying we sold our land and gave everything to the church. But we would also sort of like some of that cash. We're getting rid of the land anyway. So they gave and said, this is everything, and they kept some of the cash, and they gave in a way that would hopefully benefit them more than if they just gave it and handed it over. Are we ever tempted to do that as well? Is there ever that level of hypocrisy with us where there's something here on this list that we need to give, but we're going to give it in a way that benefits us more than just handing it over? You can let your mind run. There's a lot of ways that that could show up. But the conniving giver, I'll give, but I want it to benefit me. And I'll look for ways to make sure that it does. Or there's the grudging giver. And Jonah is an example of that. God tells him to go down to Nineveh, give of his time and his skills and his talent and go down and preach in Nineveh. And he doesn't want to go. And one of the reasons he doesn't want to go is because if I go down and preach, then God might repent, that people might repent, and then God won't destroy them. And so why am I going? Then he goes and he ends up in a fish's belly and he gets spit up in dry land. And by then you would think your attitude would change. But he does go to Nineveh and he does preach. And then he sits there and watches what happens. And when God doesn't destroy Nineveh, he gets very angry. He's a very grudging giver. I'll give, but pretty resentful about it. Right? Those are four profiles. I'm sure there's more. But I'd like to think more about the cheerful giver, which is another profile that we want to talk about, and that 2 Corinthians 9 is asking us to strive for. The cheerful giver, the Amplified says, is just joyous and prompt to do it. So you have something on that list, someone needs you for something, and you are just, you're just joyous and prompt to meet that need. A number of years ago, we were traveling to Missouri, and we took a motorhome. And when we were going around St. Louis, we got a flat on the inside dual of the rear of the motorhome. Now, motorhomes, if you ever drove one, this was one of those old Ford motorhomes, they have weight that hangs out behind the axle for days. And so somehow you have to get that thing jacked up and get the tire off and get the spare on. And I was trying to get someone to help me that had a better jack than I had and all of that. It was quite a challenge. Well, the place where we were going to stay there in Missouri said, hey, I can jump in a service truck and be out there in 2 hours. I said, no, I think I can get it. Don't worry. So we got the spare on, and we got there to Missouri where we were going, and it was Saturday night, and I was preaching on Sunday. But I said, on Monday, if we could swing over to your tire shop and just look at all the tires and make sure they're good so we don't have issues on the way home, that would be great. And he said, oh, my, yes. First thing Monday morning. We'll take it straight over to the tire shop. I'll go over every single tire, make sure they're good to go. Yep, first thing Monday, I can't wait. I never forgot that last phrase, I can't wait. Like, I don't mind helping people, but I can always wait. It's not. And if you know the person I'm talking about, that's how he lives his life. Like, he's just energetic to help others and whatever you need. Monday, we rolled in there, and he backed me in the bay of that tire shop, and he's like, oh, my, all the tire stems are completely dry rotted. No wonder one blew out. We had new tire stems in, and he's looking at the tires. You should be fine to get home, and away we went. That, to me, that's a picture of the cheerful giver, right? There's a need. I have the skill set and the resources to do it, and I just can't wait to look for opportunities to do that. I give from my heart. I'm cheered by doing it. It's a Proverbs 22, verse 9 mindset. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Right? You have that bountiful eye where you're looking out and you're seeing needs and you're observing them. You're like, I can help with that need. And you're handing it over. It's the opposite of the Proverbs 11:24 mindset. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than his meat and it tendeth to poverty. Right? So again, that thought we had in devotions where you can scatter and increase, but then you can also withhold more than is meat and it tends to poverty. You're like holding and giving and crowding it around you. And at the end of all that exercise, you're just really poor. You don't have much to show for it. Okay, so it's the opposite of that. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. So back to, I told you I was reading about this verse. I was reading in the book Boundaries. And one of the things that they taught, they were teaching about people who have been taken advantage of and how they're trying to set boundaries, healthy boundaries in their lives again. And one of the things they said is if someone is asking something of you and you can't give it cheerfully, you should consider not giving it at all. And I've been pondering that a good bit ever since. And again, if you had someone where you were in a relationship that was very manipulative and they are constantly manipulating you and getting things out of you, and you get to a point where you're trying to set some healthy boundaries, that's probably one indicator that you could use. And I do want to be clear here today. I think there are times when we don't give. And I do want to talk about that because I think, to be fair, God's calling us here, or Paul's saying God loves a cheerful giver, but there are times, and I just want to talk about a couple of those. If you're asked to give something that's not yours to give, you need to say no, right? The disciple, which one was it? James and John said, their mother came and said, we'd like them to sit on their right hand and left hand when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus said, that's not mine to give. I can't give that to you. And there's times we could be asked to give things that aren't ours to give. Another time would be if you're going to give something and it's going to hurt the person that receives it. You know, my children ask for soda and they ask for candy and they ask for, and there's times when we say no. We'll give endless cups of water, but not endless cups of soda. Okay, that's a very simple example. But when you get into adult relationships, you can still run into this same dynamic. Much more complicated to think through. But when you begin to evaluate that, if I give what this person is asking, it's not actually good for them. And it might even be easier to give that to them than to have that conversation explained to them that I will not give because I can't because of whatever. But there are times. Another time, example of when you might choose to not give is if the person that has the need or is asking for something has a reputation that you can't, that you don't feel you can give to. Now, Jesus said the poor will always be with us, and I think we can always give to the poor. We wrestle with that sometimes. There's that person at the gas pump, can you give me $20 for gas? And we're trying to decide, should we or shouldn't we? Those are the kind of examples that you can get into. Are you going to hurt the person? But a one-time gift, a small amount rarely does. But there are also other times. There has been enough of failed nonprofits in this area, in the conservative Anabaptist circles, that I think we just need to use discretion when we give. We just need to be mindful of that. The place where I'm giving of my resources to bless the kingdom, is it handling those resources well? Is it channeling them into the kingdom? Or are there other things going on? And we just have to have our eyes wide open because this can happen quickly. There's a nonprofit in Lancaster County now that there's some stories coming out. They're a little scary. You can ask me when you come through the line back there which one it is. Just be really mindful. What is this organization? What are they doing? Where will the things go? Another example is if the request invades your personal boundaries, it's okay to say no. And this book also brought out that it's good to actually teach your children that. And so if I'm putting my little daughter to bed and I tell her, you give a good night kiss, and she says no, she doesn't have to. It's fine. She's a little girl. She doesn't have to give me a good night kiss. You pat her on the head and put her to bed. It's fine. You don't have to force that, because children may say that. They may say no if they want to, and that's okay. Now, when we say pick up your toys, then you don't say no, right? That doesn't invade your personal space or boundaries in any way, and neither does the other one. But you can teach children that they can't say no, and that's not good. So if it's invading your personal space and boundaries that you've set up, it can be a good thing to say no. If you have already given all that you can give, you may need to say no to a request that comes in. I called a preacher, wondered if they would come preach here at Swatara, and he said, I worked with my family, and we set up a quota of how much I will preach in a year. And my quota is beyond full already. Well, then you have to say no, right? If you've put something down and you've agreed to it, that's fine. And if you're going to give, but it's going to be grudging and you're going to resent the person you're giving to, I do think there's a time to pause and stop and think, should I give? God loves a cheerful giver. And I can't give cheerfully because of the situation, and I'm very frustrated. Now, that last point, though, I do want to round out a little more because I've been pondering it. If I'm going to set a quota for how often I will preach, am I going to be able to get that right? You know, after a while, I could resent everyone in preaching. I mean, every Sunday night's my Sunday night. I'm not going and preaching for wherever. I could be a little grudging about putting anything in the offering. Putting money in the conference offering. I already do enough for the conference. How would I put money in yet? I could be grudging about giving of time to my children after work. I worked all day. I worked all day to make enough money so they have a place to live. I'm not going to untangle their fishing rod and help them find their lost croc. Forget it. Or helping with the dishes. I worked all day. Somebody else can do the dishes. I have other things to do, right? Like, if I'm honest with my own heart, I can be grudging about giving anything. I could be. I think I have that ability. And so I need to think through that. So what, how do I wrestle with that? How do I decide, should I give or shouldn't I give? And so I'd like to talk yet for the last point. God loves a cheerful giver. And let's talk about that God a little bit. If God looks down and he says, I love a cheerful giver, is there anything in me as I go through my days giving all day, every day, is there anything in me that I need to work at cultivating that cheerfulness as I give? So let's look. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 50. And let's talk about this God who loves cheerful givers. Psalm chapter 50. And we're going to read verses 9 through 12. God is speaking. Psalm 50, verse 9. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. This is the God who looks down from heaven and says, I love a cheerful giver. And he doesn't love a cheerful giver because he has this long list of needs that he needs us to somehow fill. He said, if I was hungry, I would certainly not tell you. The cattle on a thousand hills are mine. Right? The wild birds are mine. They're all mine. All right? And so God is a God of unlimited resources. And he doesn't love that seeing a person give cheerfully because he somehow needs something. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Remember that. God has unlimited resources. He doesn't necessarily need anything for us. Isaiah chapter 1. And we'll start right at the end of verse 16. The last little phrase says, cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. And those are things that will start to fill in some of that list that we made on the board. And then he says in verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And I just want to draw out here that God is a God who will drive deals to the benefit of others, right? Come now, let us reason together. If your sin is like scarlet, but it can be white as snow. It's red like crimson, it shall be like wool. That's a God who comes in and he drives a deal and he drives a bargain and we had nothing to bring to the table. And he says, it's fine because I'll pay the whole price. That's like my children, they want to go swimming and I tell them, okay, let's reason together. And you would think I would say, when all the trash is collected and the yard is mowed, you may swim. But they go off and swim anyway, right? And then I find them there and I'm like, come and let's reason together. Now, what would you say? You would say, listen, you just didn't listen. So now you're not swimming for a week. You're going to mow the yard and we're going to give you six more jobs. But God finds us and our sins are like crimson. He says, come and let's reason together. And this is the God who has endless, infinite resources. And he says, come, let us reason together. Your sins are like scarlet. They can be as white as wool. I'll drive you a deal that you are the one that benefits. And I don't even need to benefit. Now, we do have to be obedient to him and follow him for sure. But he's the one who drove the deal and said, I'll set it up. And we are the ones who benefit from it. And he is also the greatest giver. Turn that back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Where we started out. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm sorry. It is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 was where we were looking at, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 15, and the whole chapter 9 continues to talk about giving and how we can do that. And then we get down to verse 15, and Paul says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God is the greatest giver, and we won't somehow outgive God. And in that unspeakable gift, he sends his own son down to earth to die on a cross so that we can have our sins forgiven. And it's just a tremendous gift that we've received. You know, and without it, our lives would be so different. Our church life would be so, well, there wouldn't be church life. But because of a God who has this unlimited resources, and he drives a deal where we benefit, and then he supplies the gift through his son to make it possible, and we have this unspeakable gift that we benefit from, we're able to enjoy what we do, the freedom in Christ and the forgiveness of sins, and to live a life where we're reconciled with this God, this tremendous God of the universe who says, if I'm hungry, I wouldn't tell you. And we can have a relationship with him as our Father because of the gift that he sent. But God looks down. That God looks down who gave that gift and who gives us all things to enjoy life. He looks down and he says that I love a cheerful giver. I know you're going to have needs this week, lots of them. I know you're going to have places where you're going to give, and I love when someone gives cheerfully. So if he loves a cheerful giver, how much should I exercise that discipline? You know, when I go home and you ladies start setting out lunch, if God loves a cheerful giver, and he's given so much to us, you know, how hard do I need to work to be a cheerful giver while you're setting lunch out? Or Monday morning, you head off to work. How important is it that you're a cheerful giver? You know, you show up and the person before you didn't clean the trailer out, and then you get to the job site and it's a mess too, and the salesman overlooked, and right? Like, I don't know. Or you go to get the mower started and the person who ran it last week never fueled it up, right? How important is it for me to have that discipline to be a cheerful giver? The greatest motivation that I have for being a cheerful giver is the love that I have for God, who gave so much for me and says, I love cheerful givers. And out of that comes a motivation from my heart to give back to God and to give to the needs around me that he brings into my life, and to do so cheerfully and to give back with cheer. And so, God loves a cheerful giver. Let's cultivate the discipline of giving. And part of that is it starts young, right? When you children, when your mom says, can you take the bucket of garbage and go out and dump it? You should say, yes, Mom, it would be a pleasure to take that out. And just see what happens. When it's time, you get that call that they need summer Bible school teacher. Certainly, it would be a pleasure to teach summer Bible school, right? Or a devotional leader, or whatever. But it does start young. This is something that you can start, and same thing for giving in the offering. At a young age, if you're here and you're a young person and you start working summer when school's out, you can set a little money aside, and you can give that in the offering. And if you need some offering envelopes to make that work better, just let me know. I can get you some, right? But you can start those disciplines very young. But it's not just the giving. It's also the cheerful side. We're glad to give. God gave so much to us, and we can start working that discipline of, I can be cheerful and smile while I give to the needs around me. So start young, but also give now. There isn't really a better time to give than right now. I fall for that trap all the time. I am quite sure that when I get older, it's going to be easier to give than it is now, right? Once my place is paid off, once I don't have to spend so much time in the children, once, right, it'll be easy to give. Give now. Give of, you know, financially. Give everything on that list as it comes into your experience. Give and give today. In fact, the younger you start, the better it will go. It's not easy to start habits when you are older. And then give intentionally. don't just wait for things to like come into your experience that you encounter and you must give because you're the one who can. But think about, where do I want to give? What are some places where God wants me to give? How does he want me to give? And start setting up, I'm going to, this week, I'm going to cheerfully give here and here and here, and you will a bunch of other places too, but I'm going to cheerfully do that. I'm going to prioritize that this week and be intentional. So we talked about the discipline of giving, and then the second one is cultivate the discipline of cheerful giving and the cheerfulness that goes with it. And I really ran the two together. But start young and be intentional and start doing it now. Give to the needs around you and give cheerfully. Let's kneel for prayer.